Debbie Neihart is going to come up, and she's been a Sunday school teacher in our church for how many years? 26 years. So she might know something. I also know that she teaches first and second grade girls Sunday school, and the girls love going in her class. They absolutely love it. They don't want to graduate from second grade because they don't want to move out of her class. And I'm going to let her come up and tell you all about what she does as a Sunday school teacher, because I think she just does a fabulous job. So enjoy it.
One good quality of Sunday school teacher is being loud. And I can see people smiling in the back, so I know I am loud. Because loud sometimes makes up for other things. I have been a Sunday school teacher for 26 years, and I absolutely love it. There are some things that I have learned from being a Sunday school teacher for 26 years. And one thing is I will always cry when I do the crucifixion story. I cannot get through doing the crucifixion without crying. So if your child has ever been in my class, because there's a few ladies from church here, if your child comes home and they tell you the crucifixion like this, and Jesus was whipped and beaten and he died on the cross for your sins, they were in my class, because I cannot go through that. I have also learned that if a little girl is pulling up her leotards in the middle of Sunday school class, at one point or another, she had to have pulled them down in the middle of Sunday school class. And then it is time to pray. I have also learned that, please pray for my mom and dad, they were fighting on the way to church, is not a prayer request you want to hear. So you just go, oh, okay, and leave it alone. I have also learned that there is never a dull moment working with kids. I love working with the kids. It is a blast. And even if you're not a nosy teacher, you will find out more about their families than you want to know. In fact, Mrs. Sewell looked at me. I had all four of her girls, and she said, oh, you could write a book about our family. I said, yeah, and it would be a bestseller because their family is hysterical. And so it is just so exciting to get to work with the kids. 26 years ago, Dennis Wells came up to me, and he said, Miss Neihart, I would like you to teach a Sunday school class. At that time, our oldest son was 2 years old, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm pretty sure God does not want me to teach first and second grade. And he goes, well, why don't you pray about it? And I said, oh, sure. Because I knew God would say, no way. So I actually, if you want something at our house, an answer really quick, don't expect it from our house. Not because I'm not quick, I'm very impulsive. But my husband is not, and he said, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it for like 3 weeks, and God just kept saying, that's where I want you, that's where I want you. So I went to Brother Wells, and I said, okay, God wants me to teach. What do I use for curriculum? And he looked at me and said, your Bible? And I said, oh, good idea. And at that time, we didn't have a Sunday school budget, we didn't have anything. So armed with my Bible, my two-year-old son's crayons, and lots of prayers, I started teaching Sunday school, and I have never regretted it yet. I love doing it. For the first 10 years, I had boys and girls. It was a blast, and I'm more of a tomboy, so that was easier for me. Well, then our Sunday school classes got so big that we had to split them up, so now I am in with all these little girls. That is a huge change, because I have three sons, one daughter. My daughter is a princess, but I am not. So I thought, okay, what do I do with these little girls? So then again, you spend lots of time praying. I have had a couple of workers that help me. Right now I have three ladies that help. Lisa Gorange, I believe, has been with me for about 10 years. And her specialty is parties, crafts, and she does an awesome Lazarus story. She has wrapped toilet paper around the little girls. She has wrapped fabric around the little girls, and then the whole class calls, Lazarus, come forth. And everybody loves it. So she has been a blessing to me. Anything I say, Lisa, I need this, she will make it happen. Then my sister-in-law, Teresa Erbert, she also works in the bookstore. We've been working together, I think, about 4 or 5 years now. It is a blast to have your sister in there. And so her specialty is song leading. Nobody does Peace Like a River like Teresa Urbridge. Oh, she does the best fountains and everything because she puts a lot of emotions into it, and the girls love how she leads singing. Then she also specializes in crafts because they're good at that. That's my weak area. As you can tell, I can talk. That's my specialty. I don't do crafts. I love glitter glue. That's the extent of my craft. And then Teresa did a really neat lesson on Fruit of the Spirit. And she had the flannel graph on everything, and that was very impressive. But the best part was she went out and found candy that looked like fruit and candy that tasted like fruit. And the girls loved it. And they remembered that lesson because of the fruit candy. And then my other helper is a newer addition. She has actually been in my class, Stephanie Putney. And she just comes in and helps wherever we need her. I call her the head bonker. We don't really bonk their heads. But, you know, if somebody's out of line and you need to help them get back in line, she just gently brings them, sits by her, and it calms down the whole class. Each of these ladies, once a month, will take the last 15 minutes of class, and they'll either have a craft or a game or something fun or how was your week? Oh, kids love that. And they will help me at the end of class to interact with the kids. And it's really important. I know some of you won't have helpers right away, but when you do institute a helper, let them get involved, because you cannot love those children the same way just standing back and being a head bonker as you can interacting with them and talking to them and having fun with them. It's really important that you do that. There are three things that you need for working with kids. One of them is to love God, love the kids, and love the teach. The first one, loving God, is very important because that's who you're representing. When those kids come to Sunday school or they come to church, they go, oh, she loves God. That helps them to love God too. And the only way that you can love God is if you read your Bible, pray, and spend precious time with Him. Because have you ever noticed if you don't read your Bible and pray, you kind of get crabby at God? And it's real easy to do. Well, if you're crabby on the inside, eventually it's going to come peeking out on the outside. And those little kids are going to see that, and they're not going to pay attention to you. They will respond better to what you have to say if they can see Jesus shining through you. Another thing is to love the kids. And in Galatians 5:13, the last part of the verse, it says, but by love, serve one another. And that's what you're doing. You are in service to the King, but you are serving those little kids. That is a special blessing if you have the opportunity to do that. They need to know that you love them and care about them, because then they'll be more teachable and ready to listen to you. And I remember years ago, this girl now is probably close to 20, but her little sister was a few years younger than her, and she had been in my class. And she says, oh, Kelly, you are going to love to go to Mrs. Nyhart's class. She goes, I am? Because, you know, they're a little bit afraid. Because if you're not used to my kind of personality, I can be slightly scary. Because they come from polite classes, and then they get me. And she goes, why? She goes, because she loves all the girls. You'll love her. So it's very important that they know that you love them. And you need to show an interest with them. Like, I love to get to class, and I'll put up all my stuff that I'm doing, and then I'll sit back on a chair, and as they come in, we'll just kick back and talk about how's their week, how's their dog, how's their rotten brother they were fighting with, you know, that kind of stuff that girls like to talk about. So then they think, okay, it's really special. Mrs. Nyhart's taking an interest with us. And I remember I got to teach Mrs. Doty's boys, because that's when I was still teaching boys. And she came to me and she said, thank you for making a difference. And I said, what do you mean? She said, Justin, which is her second boy, came up to her and said, such and such happened. Now I have something to tell Mrs. Nyhart on Sunday. He knew that I wanted to know what happened to him that week. And so they have to know that you love them and care about them. Another thing that I like to do is sometimes they're struggling, and you may think their dog getting ran over or running away is no big deal, but to them it is huge. It is huge. And so I like to sit and pray for them. And yes, I have prayed for dogs to come back that were lost. I never pray for the dead to go to heaven. We had that come up one time, so I had to explain dogs don't go to heaven, so we didn't need to pray. But, you know, it's just really kind of a neat thing because they're going to bear their souls to you. And those same kids that you pray for their dog to come home or get better, those are the same kids that are going to come to you and say, Mrs. Nyhart, my mom is really sick. Can you pray for her? And you go, well, sure. And they know that you will do it. Because their prayer request, there's nothing too small or insignificant, because none of ours are to God. And they may be to somebody else. But if you show those kids that you care by praying with them, and you can't always just stop on the spot and do it, but maybe after class grab them, or we like to open with prayer, and then at that point, I'll go ahead and, you know, bring up that prayer request to God. It's really important. Then on the fifth Sunday of the month, we do our prayer request. And what we do with that is we split up the girls into four groups, and then they get to give a prayer request, and we write them all down, and each girl prays for her own prayer request. And if they're a little bit afraid to pray out loud, because some of them really are, I just say, touch the person next to you and tell them, I'm not going to pray. And then we'll go on, and then at the end, that teacher who has them in their group will pray for every single prayer request. That means a lot to the little girls. Prayer requests should have parameters, and I learned this the hard way. Like I said, my son was 2 years old, and I thought, okay, I want these little kids to know I care. I'm like teaching for the first time ever. So I said, okay, who has prayer requests? So all these little hands go up, and I said, okay, what's your prayer request? Oh, my grandma's sick. Can you pray that she'll get better? Sure, no problem. The next prayer request was something real simple, like, my dad and mom are going on a trip. Could you pray for us? I said, sure, no problem. So the next one went down, and never get overconfident, because God will remind you there is no reason to be overconfident. Next little hand went, my mom and dad were fighting all the way to church. Could you pray for them? Our family's a mess. And it was like, okay, I think we're done with prayer requests. Let's pray. So, certain parameters. Salvation for people, sickness, jobs, traveling mercies. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to know the gory details of every family, because you go to church with these people and you have to look them in the eye, and you never want to go by and go, oh my goodness. What, you don't want to know what your kid just said about you and your family. So I really steer away from anything controversial. I think that's a good range of things, because I don't want to know. I don't like gossip. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't even want to be thinking about something I shouldn't be thinking about. So have parameters to prayer. Also, make your rules very simple. Maybe come up with 3 or 4 good rules that are important to you. Like I have, once class starts, if you want to talk, you need to raise your hand. You need to treat each other kindly. Don't bug your neighbor. Now, if you see any of these rules being broken, here's what I do. I'll just say, oh, girls, let's be quiet. Then if that doesn't work, I'll say, Naomi, you need to be quiet. And I will do this through my lesson, and I won't miss a beat. I just go back right to the lesson, because you know what? I don't want them to feel extra, extra bad. I just want to get my point across. And if that doesn't work, then one of my 3 wonderful helpers gets the prize of getting to take that child back and sit by them. Sometimes just separating them will do the trick. And so if you show them that you love them and care, they're going to want to obey the rules. It's easier to get them to obey if you have a relationship with them. One of the young ladies that was in my class, we were talking yesterday, and I won't point her out, but she is in here today. And she said, Mrs. Nyhart, I remember being in your class, and I just loved it. But I remember one time when a girl and I were talking, and it was prayer, and I leaned over and said, shh, Mrs. Nyhart's praying. And you thought it was me, so you said, you need to be quiet. And she said, I was so sad that I disappointed you. And it just got sadder from there, because she went home and told her parents that she had gotten in trouble for talking in prayer. So her parents gave her a spanking. So, because she had disobeyed the rules of class. Not because, you know, she was innocent victim and stuff like that. They cared enough for her to obey the rules of the class. And, you know, as parents, I have 4 kids. I know I've given spankings to the wrong kid for the wrong thing. So, you know what? Don't feel so sorry. She's a great girl now. Thank her parents for that spanking. So, then, another thing is sometimes you have to take away a privilege. We had this one little girl, and if I say her name, Jo Ray, my helpers will go, oh yeah. She was in our class for 3 years, and apparently she wasn't getting enough attention at home. She did not come from a safe family. So every week she came in whining, moaning, and groaning about something, and if we wanted her to do something, she wanted to do something different. And we just gently worked with her and tried to build a relationship with her. But we were making Mother's Day cards one day. And Teresa came to me and said, she doesn't want to make a Mother's Day card. And I said, well, she doesn't have to. She goes, yeah, but she's over here whining, moaning, and groaning. And I said, okay. So I walked over and I said, Jo, if you want to make a Mother's Day card, you must do it by this certain time. Well, I don't want to. And she started whining, whining, and groaning. I said, well, that's fine. You don't have to. But if you do, you must do it by this time. So she sat and kind of pouted the whole class. And at that exact time, she comes up and says, Mrs. Neihart, I'm ready to make my card. And I said, you know what, Jo, that is really great. I said, but do you remember I told you that if you didn't do it before this time, you wouldn't get to make one? She goes, yeah. I said, guess what? I said, you don't get to make a card because you didn't do it before this time. And she cried and cried and cried. But do you know what? After that, she was the best kid. And we had spent, was it close to 2 years dealing with her emotional attitudes? And all it took was that one time of taking a privilege. She was a different kid. And about a year or so later, she got saved. And it wasn't in our class, but we had a part of it. And so that was pretty exciting for us. Another thing is to love to teach. Now, I brought my clock because I don't do watches or cell phones. I carry a cell phone, but I don't know why. I don't use it very often. So if you see me looking at my clock, that is why. It's not one of my props. All right, loving to teach. Be prepared. I read my Bible story Monday through Saturday, or sometimes Tuesday through Saturday. And I read it over and over and over. And no disrespect to the Bible, please do not take it till I am absolutely sick of reading that story. If I read it one more time, I'm going to scream. When I get to that point, I know that I can retell that Bible story to the kids. I don't do well with notes because I tend to get note bound. And so, I have to do that. That is just me. You may have another system that'll work better for you, but I like to be able to come up and just speak and tell the story. If I do write notes, what I might do is take my Bible and write in the margin by the verse a key word that'll trigger my memory and help me, oh yeah, okay, that's what it says here and that's what I'm supposed to be teaching. Another thing is, I don't know if you've I'm sure some of you have had to teach Sunday school, but you read a portion of scripture and you said, I have no idea how to retell this. What I have done is I get a Bible story book, and being as I have kids, that's pretty easy, and I read what the author wrote, how they put it into words for children. Then I go, oh, and don't do it word for word like they did, but sometimes it'll trigger a memory and you'll go, okay, I have an idea, I can work with this now. So God uses even those Bible story books. And then I'll go back to my scripture and say, okay, now I can put this together to retell the kids. And it has helped me many times. Also, Becca has these series stories. And if I were a preacher, I would be a series preacher. But I'm a teacher, and I'm kind of a series teacher. I like that. I like the orderliness of it. I like to know what to expect. I like to know what I'm doing. But I will just, a side note, I have studied a lesson for 2 or 3 weeks, and God has changed it on Saturday night at 10 o'clock at night and said, that's not what I want you to teach. This is what I want. And you know what? I'm going, oh, dear God, I was so in control of this. I really am having a hard time changing it now. And I have walked into that Sunday school class only having read that through maybe a couple times, and God has just been all over it, and it was better than anything I could have even thought of. He does that sometimes to remind you He is God and He is in control. I have walked up, literally, I looked at Teresa and Lisa one day and I said, pray for me, I have two lessons and I have no idea which one to teach. I did not know until I got up to the pulpit and I opened my mouth and God gave me the one He wanted me to teach. So, you know what, just trust God. He will take care of it. He will help you say the words you're supposed to say. And really pray about that too, because you don't want to say anything He doesn't want you to say. Now, back to Abeka. They have these wonderful series pictures, and they'll include a booklet, or they have these wonderful pictures, and on the back, they'll include a story. And what I will do is I will still read my scriptures all week long. Then at the end of the week, if I want to use pictures, I will take and read what they have written for each picture. And then I go back and reread the scriptures. And then when I get up here, I have the pictures in front of me. And now that triggers my memory to what that picture is all about and how I can explain it to the kids. And I have a really bad habit. I will take pictures in there and never show one picture. And so, you know, we kind of have this thing, and they'll say, Lisa or Teresa said, oh, well, you made it through two pictures today. Good job. And for me, that is good, because once I get talking, I get so involved in, you know, the scriptures that I forget everything else. So one lady I had in there years ago came up with a wonderful system for me, and I've used it ever since. If I get done and I see all the pictures laying there, never have used them, she came up because she would always tease me like it was kind of a waste of time to bring the pictures because I never used them. So she came up and took the picture and said, kids, what's happening in this picture? Can you help us remember what Mrs. Neihart said? These Abeka pictures are so well done. Even though the kids haven't seen it, they can tell what that picture is about, and then they help you review the story, which sticks it here and here one more time. Another thing is be real, be yourself, and don't be boring. Now, if you are naturally boring, then don't be real. Pretend you're somebody else, okay? Don't be boring. All right. And don't be embarrassed to throw yourself into your lesson. You're competing with TVs, DVDs, computer games, the allurement of the world. So you want to make Sunday school as exciting and fun as you possibly can. And some of the ways that you can do that is to paint pictures with your words. Now, my favorite thing is to tell a story and then draw them in and get really quiet and then yell something out at the end and they all jump and scream. I love that because then I know I do get kind of a cruel satisfaction now that I love to make the girls scream. And I think it's because I'm a tomboy. And so anyways, paint pictures with your words. I remember reading Little House on the Prairie books, and I remember Laura Ingalls Wilder telling a story about how the Indians were beating the drums day and night, and how the terror filled their souls, and how they couldn't hardly function, and they couldn't plug their ears and get it out of their head. And as I read that, I felt what she felt. I saw what she saw. I heard what she heard. That's what you have to do with your kids. Make them feel like they are part of that Bible story because it becomes more real to them. Another thing is use a lot of facial expressions and have your kids do it with you. Like sometimes I'll say, and the king was a wicked king and he was mad. And I'll say, give me a mad face. And they'll give me these mad faces. And I say, oh, no, no, we don't want to do mad faces anymore. You guys are too pretty. Put smiles back on. If there's excitement or happiness or sadness, we've all pretended to cry together in the class. They love that. Have them do actions like Noah and the Ark. Have them chop down the wood. Have them hammer the Ark together, and we're pretending we're Noah. And then slime it up and remind them how disgusting the slime was and all this stuff. And have them, oh, you know, we just did Noah and the Ark. have them bang on their chairs for the thunder and flip the lights on and off for lightning. They love that kind of stuff. It sticks in their mind. Another thing is I had my husband measure out the arc in our field, and we walked the entire field, which literally it was almost our entire field out there. I didn't know how big it was. And the girls go, wow. Because if you go by the world's view of Noah's Ark, you'd be wondering for the rest of your life how they fit everything on there. But if you measure it out and have the girls walk it, all of a sudden, even as an adult, I'm going, wow, that's how we got all those animals on the ark. And so it became very real to them. And that was something cheap and easy. Visuals can be very cheap. I go to the dollar store, love to hang out there in the aisles because there's always something pretty cool you could use there for Sunday school. Also around the house. One of my favorite things to teach is the plagues. And I have taught the plagues in different manners. Okay, I just want you to know, I have this snake, and the only time I touch it is if I'm doing Noah the Ark. Otherwise, it remains in a plastic bag in my school cupboard because I don't want to touch it, and I don't want to open it and have it scare me. I don't mind scaring the girls with it, but I am not going to be attacked by my own snake. So what I do is I stick it under the pulpit. And one year I was Pharaoh's daughter, and oh, I was just appalled by all these plagues that the Jews had brought on us. One time I was a servant in the palace, and I put on an apron and a broom and swept and talked about how it was. And I had a pot, and I was stirring it. And I said, oh, and those terrible frogs, they were everywhere. And I opened the pot, and I screamed, and all the frogs came flying out. And they screamed with me, which, again, delighted me. And then I was a Jewish girl one time, and I talked about how God protected the Jewish people and what he did for them during that time. So you can make up all kinds of things. And again, cheap stuff, grasshoppers. We like to send home snakes and frogs with them. And you'd go, for little girls, oh, you don't know how much they love these things. And I found the coolest thing this last Halloween at the dollar store. Flies. I cannot wait to teach this again because every girl gets a disgusting fly. Because we talk about how you walk, how they would walk along and the ground was covered and you'd hear crunch, 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 or that they would open their mouth and a fly would fly in, how the frogs covered their beds and they couldn't get away from. You have to make it feel real to them, like they were a part of it, because that Bible becomes so real to them. My favorite thing, though, is, you know when Moses cast the rod to the ground and it became a snake? And I'll say, and Moses took the rod and it became a snake. And then I'll take and I'll toss it in the air. And Lisa and Teresa, notice coming, we do this every other year. And they will still jump and occasional squeal with the girls, which even makes me happier. But you can do stuff like this. And with boys or girls, you can imagine how well this works. We also have a couple really special lessons. We study Ruth one year and Esther the next. Because we are working with girls, it is so important to show them there were good, godly ladies in the Bible that served God no matter what happened to them. And so it's really fun to do these, and we have two parties. One of them is a Queen Esther party, and we go get little crowns, or sometimes we've had them make crowns. We go buy beautiful tablecloths, plastic, and then little plates and little bits of jewelry. This is why I have Lisa and Teresa. And then we get delightful snacks that queens would eat. Of course, most of them involve chocolate. And so they're excited because they get to come to the feast. And on the last week that I teach that, we do lesson 7, or chapter, big word here, chapter 7 through 10. And then we have our party. Then our biggest one, everybody's favorite, even the moms weren't invited to this, even after their girls have left, is our Ruth party. At the end of the Ruth party, or at the end of the Ruth study, chapter 4 is the wedding. So we usually do Sunday school and children's church that day, and they get an official invitation to the wedding, because every wedding has an invitation. Then, when they show up to Sunday school, we give them a little bouquet of flowers, a little wedding ring, and this is where they come in handy again. We make little halo veils for them. And before the day's over, they get to walk the aisle, and they get to have wedding pictures taken of them, and then we take group wedding pictures. We decorate it like a wedding. And you can still do this pretty inexpensively. All right, during that time, I also have a word puzzle. Up here is a secret code, pretty secret, all of you know it. A is number one, B is number two, and then we do a scripture verse. Because we have so much going on, we need something to keep the girls busy. Then, when my daughter was little, she's now 25, she got a little program with brides on it. So we make bride pictures. And this, you're going to need a little advanced preparation. Like, I just go and I look for good sales on lace. You can do fabric. You'll need ribbons, beads, you know, fun things like that. Sometimes even little flowers up here. And they get to color and decorate their brides. They love it. And it's very inexpensive, especially if you spread it out during the year and look for sales. The last thing I'd like to talk about is the song time. Song time is very important. It can be exciting and lively, and it really should be. Try to make them with actions. Like when we do stand up for Jesus, stand up for Jesus, we have them sit down, and on the word stand up, they all jump up. And then the next verse, we make them sit down, and they jump up again. And then, like I said, Teresa does a wonderful piece like a river. And if you would like to know how she does that, she will be in the bookstore later, and you can come ask her. She'll probably quit my class now. But sisters cannot do that. Okay, so then there's another one. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Is there anybody here that loves my Lord? I want to know, I want to know, do you love my Lord? Makes me feel like shouting when I love my Jesus. Makes me feel like shouting when I love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know, do you love my Lord? Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know, do you love my Lord? And then this one is really fun. Makes us love each other when you love my Jesus. Makes us love each other when you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know if you love my Lord. And that one I got off a CD. And I made up the actions on the way to church on a napkin. So napkins are really handy. Keep them in your car for notes. And just in closing, how many of you learned, Jesus loves me when you were little? How many still remember that song? How many still love that song? I learned that. I've been going to Sunday school since I was 2 weeks old. I didn't learn it then. I wasn't that smart. But that made a difference in my life. I carried that song with me wherever I go. And some of your Sunday school kids that come from unsaved families especially, you will only have a short opportunity to plant in their heart Jesus. If you send them home with some songs, hymns, scripture songs, Jesus loves me, they are taking something home that will work better than a tract. How many of you would like to hand out a tract to every family that comes to your church? Well, I have an opportunity to do that in Sunday school. They learn those songs. They go home and sing it to dad and mom, who are not saved. They go home and sing it to brother and sister, who are not saved. They're taking a tract home without ever having to take a piece of paper. It makes a huge difference. You don't know, just through that simple thing of singing, how you might affect a family. Because my son's 28 years old. He used to stand up in the shopping cart in the middle of Shopko, and he did two things. He would preach and tell everybody they were going to hell, and he would sing songs, Sunday school songs, at the top of his lungs. Do you know what a witness that is? He couldn't have done more. And I remember my poor mom going, "Are you going to let him do that?" I said, "Well, yeah, then I don't have to have another track and try and be brave. He's doing it for me." Yeah. So you don't know how much a lively, exciting song service can make a difference. And in closing, everything we say and do as Sunday school teachers or pastors' wives will help point kids to Jesus or turn them away. So put a lot of prayer into it and put a lot of heart and love into those kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. You know, both of my girls were in her class, and I also know girls in our church who were in her class, and now their daughters are in her class. So, you know, she's got a teacher with a lot of longevity, and we appreciate her so much. I wish we could do her bride. I wish you could be there. I got to go into her class when she did that bride one with Esther. Is it Esther or Ruth? It's Ruth. Okay, that's right. But honestly, they have a wedding cake there. They have wedding cake and punch, and it's all, I mean, and these girls walk in. They come wearing their princess dresses because they know it's coming. And then she gives them a veil. And when they get done, they're running all over the church with this veil. You know, they don't have a husband, but who cares? I'm beautiful. It's like, who needs a guy, you know? And that's fine. We want them to be that way, you know? It's just so, and they are just in their own little world when they get done with her class. So, you know, I wish I had that talent, but I have learned so much just from watching her. Just what a blessing. And just with little things, you can just, if you throw yourself into it, what a blessing. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you for doing that. And I, like I said, I wish you could attend one of her classes. It's very instructional. And the kids just love it.